Thank you, Joanna, and thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it, but truly it's been an incredible effort from the staff here. Rita Clemens, to my right here, has really taken quite a strong lead in the technology strategy, as well as a number of the board members around the table and the director, so thank you for that. And to reassure you again, it is correct. We will not go through all 67 slides. What we plan to do is just highlight a few main things to refresh your memories and tee up the questions that we're going to be asking at the end. So I'll spend a few minutes just setting the questions in context, and then I'll turn things over to Roxana to talk about the evolution or developments related to the IFRS taxonomy, most significantly in Europe. There's some exciting developments there. Somebody's looking for an escape. And then I'll turn things over to Rita to talk about the exciting opportunities we have related to the taxonomy. And I do want to emphasize, this is really exciting stuff. And I say that as somebody who's a little bit technologically challenged. There's a lot of potential here, but there are challenges as well that we need to think about and think about mitigating. And then finally, I'll come through and talk about the questions that we would like for you to consider and that we'd like advice on. So moving to slide two, the question is Joanna teed up very fundamentally is, what is the role of the IFRS Foundation vis-a-vis the IFRS taxonomy? And the reason we're asking this question now, there are a few reasons. One is you provided us with some really thought-provoking advice at the October 2017 meeting related to technology. In short, we need to be considering the impact of technology very fundamentally on standard setting. In addition, we're seeing more and more that there's an increasing use of digital, or there's increasing digital consumption of financial reports. That has an effect. And then we're also seeing more jurisdictions mandating the use of the IFRS taxonomy. The SEC has come through with 2017, and then Roxana, as I mentioned, will be giving you an update very shortly. So putting this question in context to the broader technology initiative, I spoke to this slide yesterday, and just putting taxonomy within the four work streams, the taxonomy is centered on that second work stream related to the consumption of financial reports. We're looking at questions related to how is technology changing consumption? Is technology even a significant disruptor in the consumption of financial reporting? I think the answer is yes, but it's worth asking every question. What do we need to do to facilitate the technology and the more digital consumption? And what is our role, particularly given that if you think about what is the ideal state for capital markets and financial reporting, we as the IFRS Foundation cannot move the world on our own. There are a number of market participants in the financial reporting ecosystem. You've got regulators, preparers, auditors, users. If we really want to get to the ideal place, we need to work together. How do we do that? And if that's not practical or feasible, then what is within our span of control? And what should we be doing within that span of control? So one final context point is to narrow the scope a little bit of this conversation. And the reason I say that is when we get to technology, there are lots of different things that we can be thinking about. But today we want to focus primarily on the consumption of financial reporting, and within that, on the IFRS taxonomy. So if you think about various attributes of consumption of financial reporting, you have considerations related to content, considerations related to form, and considerations related to delivery. And what we're talking about in terms of content is financial reporting. We're not talking about big data. We're not talking about satellite imagery of the number of vehicles in a parking lot, that sort of thing. It's very specific to financial reporting. We're thinking about structured financial reporting. Perhaps there's an argument that at some point in the future there is no need for structured financial reporting, but we want to focus today. The reality is there is a role for financial reporting, we believe, and there is a role for structured financial reporting. So we're trying to narrow the scope on that. And then obviously in terms of consumption, there's a spectrum of paper to digital, and we're looking at what the questions are and considerations are with respect to electronic consumption. The other piece that we would like for you to assume is that XBRL will continue to be the computer language that is best suited to render and view the IFRS taxonomy. So just, again, to keep the conversation focused on the taxonomy itself and not the technology underlying the taxonomy. And with that, I'm going to turn things over to Roxanna to spend a few minutes talking about recent developments and why this strategy reconsideration is becoming more pressing.
Thank you very much, Neely. And then I remember that I gave a presentation already last year about the work which ESMA has done in that respect, because ESMA has been tasked to develop the reporting, electronic reporting format in Europe. I'm going to be brief on where we are. We consulted in the past, we prepared a technical standard, we finalized it at the end of last year, and we submitted it to the European Commission, which has to endorse it, and from what I understood, the endorsement would probably be done before the end of this year. And actually, we are moving now closer to the date of the implementation, which basically starts 1st of January 2020. To remind you a bit of and give you a bit of a flavor of the key requirements we established in Europe, we focused the application only to the IFRS financial statements, and basically, contrary to what the SEC decided in the past, we took the view that it's better to use an inline XBRL format, which basically means the companies have to submit one document in inline, and that document will have two views. One which is machine-readable and one which is human-readable. The consideration regarding to that were also linked to the eventual assurance reports which might be necessary for such documents, and actually we're quite glad to see that the SEC moved into the same direction, so they also move now to the inline XBRL. Going now to the taxonomy, from the very beginning, we thought that the best way to have a robust electronic reporting in Europe was to take the IFRS taxonomy prepared by the ISB. And we have worked quite a lot together, in particular with Rita, in the last 2 years, because when we looked at the taxonomy, we had some issues we need to think about. Is that sufficient? How does it work? We need to do some tests with some companies. We did over the summer last year. And we used the taxonomy as a starting point, but then we had to make some small adjustments. And in order to balance the need for the companies to have some flexibility in the way they are preparing their income statement, for example, or the balance sheet, we had to allow for some extension. This was a big debate. It sounds like I make it now much smaller, but this was a big debate because when some of the issuers were considering, well, is the technology taking the lead in the standard setting? Is that right, or shall it be still the other way around? So we allow for this extension to be built, and the way it's done is through an anchoring system, what we call an anchoring system. So basically the companies, they have to link those items to the closest element which exists in the IFRS taxonomy. This is something which we developed quite recently, and I know that the ISB is also working on that. So to make sure that we have exactly the same mechanism, we have to work a little bit in advance in order to have that mechanism ready for the technical standard. But I think we are more or less on the same line, and the intention is to have one system. In terms of here, you have an overall picture on what are the requirements and from when they are applying. As I mentioned, they are focused on the IFRS consolidated financial statements, not for the individual ones, but this is a particular issue for Europe. In terms of third country gap, and I'm clearly in Europe, the population which is mainly concerned are the some US issuers. For the time being, we have not been allowed. We have not allowed those companies to report on an electronic filing, even though the SEC requires that for the European companies. But this is a point which we are currently investigating to see there are some technological incompatibilities that we need to solve in the meantime. So, in terms of what we are doing and where are the efforts put right between now and 2020. Well, one area is the endorsement, and we are still also providing some additional information to the Commission so that they see how that will work in practice. We are also working on thinking on some of the validation rules, so to help the issuers to have some useful checks before the reports are validated. We are conducting some workshops in different European countries. The idea is really to put the issuers and the software vendors together to see how this will practically look like. And in addition to that, we are also thinking a bit more broadly on the how the repositories where this information is actually registered, how that could be linked so that there is one unique access to the electronic filing in Europe. I think this is in a nutshell what I wanted to share with you, and happy to take questions later.
Thanks very much, Roxana. I have to say, I'm also very excited. And I'm really excited because I strongly believe that the use of the IFRS taxonomy and structured electronic reporting can bring a great array of potential opportunities, not only to users, but also to regulators, standard setters, and may I even say preparers. Now, in this presentation, I have given you some examples. I've talked about quite a few opportunities. But here, for the sake of time, I'm just going to focus in on a few. And I think the IFRS taxonomy can improve accessibility of IFRS financial statements. What is great content if that content cannot be accessed in the first place by the people for which you write this content? Now, imagine a little bit how investors are currently consuming the data and the reports. They do not all do that in the same way. Some prefer to print a report. Some prefer to read information within a context and still manual extractive. And increasingly, there are many who really want stack data in a structured electronic format. Now, the great thing of technology is that it gives choice. You don't have to have one product that has to fit all. Technology provides choice. And I think the greatest opportunity of the IFRS taxonomy and inline XBRL is that it really can improve accessibility of IFRS information to all investors, including those that currently prefer to use structured electronic data. The IFRS taxonomy supports fundamental research. It does not replace it. It's not suddenly robots who are going to analyze all this data. I believe strongly it's going to complement and enhance investment research. And it does that by providing users access to a large volume of data in a timely and efficient way. Now, some of you may have heard that the IFRS taxonomy brings standardization, brings comparability. And unfortunately, it doesn't do that. IFRS standard setting brings comparability. However, the IFRS taxonomy and structured electronic reporting can facilitate comparability. By having information available in an easy accessible way, it becomes easier to identify differences and similarities. As I mentioned, there are quite a few slides with examples and speaker notes to explain to you what this example is about. But let me just focus in on one. There are investors now who publicly state in the market that they have started to use the XBRL data that currently is available on the SSE. Because in their view, the data has become more reliable, there is more data available, and there is more history available. And on this slide, you'll find an example of an extract of a document where a particular investor has stated how they're using XBRL data. And what is interesting about this is that they really say they really use it, because the biggest opportunity for them is that now they can get access to deep, granular data that currently is not available on products provided by data aggregator. So the IFRS taxonomy and structured electronic reporting does not only improve accessibility of IFRS financial statements to all investors, it also does that potentially for all data and for all companies, not just only the small companies that are now well covered on products of data aggregators. I started off by saying there are many opportunities for many stakeholders, regulators, standard setters, preparers, and so on. And on this slide, I have provided some of these opportunities. For instance, you can use the XBRL data in more academic research, which then can feed in evidence-based standard setting. Now, I'm also a little bit not so excited. So I said I'm excited, but also I'm not completely excited because there still remain many challenges to really fulfill this potential of the IFRS taxonomy. Investors require structured electronic data that is reliable, consistent available, both company-specific and comparable, and available in a useful form. And unfortunately, these characteristics of useful information are not always currently available with the tagged as reported data. So investors require reliable data. However, at the moment, tagging errors remain. We still see examples where a wrong IFRS taxonomy element has been used, or even where a preparer communicates in a structured electronic world that it is a positive value, whereas in fact it is a negative value. Now, we think that this could be due to the lack of familiarity with the IFRS taxonomy and possibly also a lack of audit or regulatory review. Users will only switch to using this data if this data becomes consistently available. Again, at this moment in time, there is not a critical mass of IFRS tag data available for users to switch to this new source. There are still many countries that are not using or are not in the process of adopting the IFRS taxonomy. There is not enough history available. And sometimes, for good reason, the tagging may be restricted to the primary financial statements only. Then, investors do high-level and deep-dive analysis. So investors definitely want also easy access to company-specific data. However, the IFRS taxonomy can and only includes at this moment elements for disclosures that are commonly reported across the globe and within industry groups. This is a challenge because how do you then tag or communicate this company, rich company-specific detail in a structured electronic world in such a way that the message is still conveyed and the data can be easily accessed? Investors also require comparable data. But we often hear that they think just consume the tag as reported data does not work for this purpose. And often intermediaries are currently standardizing and normalizing and aggregating the data to make it available in a format that then can be used by investors for comparison purposes. And data has to be available in a usable form. There is the IFRS taxonomy. There is XBRL. Now, XBRL allows you to tag the data and allows you to deliver this data in an electronic format. But XBRL, neither the IFRS taxonomy is a time series or a database or a tool that makes it easy to convert currency or query the data. So for the full potential of the taxonomy and inline XBRL to realize, you also need additional software on top of it helps and facilitates analysis. Now, different stakeholders have a role to play in resolving the challenges. There are regulators, there is the IFRS Foundation, there are the preparers, I would say that also there are the investors, there are the tagging agents, so there are many, many parties involved in the structured electronic reporting ecosystem. In the slides in the presentation, I've given you an overview of what's currently being done. Again, I don't have time to go through each of the activities, but let me just point out too what we currently do. So I mentioned that the data is not fully reliable. I also mentioned that we think that is partially due because preparers are not that familiar with the IFRS taxonomy yet. So we are taking steps to help a preparer to better understand the IFRS taxonomy. And last year in December, we published a guide, and this guide is specifically aimed at preparers to tell them all about in the about the IFRS taxonomy content in what we think is an easy to understandable language. So if you haven't read this yet, please have a look. Also, I want to talk about company-specific information because it's really, really important, because many investors have said, we really want it, but it's very time-consuming to consume, and we really want to be able to access it. So we have worked with regulators, with ESMA, with XBRL International to say, look, let's think about this problem and see if we can resolve it. And Roxana already mentioned this idea of anchoring. What we found that in practice, many of this entity-specific information was either a disaggregation or an aggregation of something that exists in the IFRS taxonomy. So by linking a company-specific, you're really telling to an IFRS taxonomy element, you really tell a user, okay, this has to do something with this IFRS taxonomy element, but there is, you really want to see the detail, you can do that as well. And with that, I give it back to Neely.
Thank you, Rita. So with that background, I'd like to tee up the questions that we would like your advice on. And I'm just going to... So you may be wondering, why are we asking the question of what is the IFRS taxonomy strategy now? And as I mentioned before, we have considered the strategy in the past, and there are some slides in your deck related to that. But with emerging events, with the greater use of the taxonomy around the world, we want to make sure we've refreshed this strategy. So primarily what we're thinking about is, what is our role in relation to that strategy? And if you look at our mission, it says that our mission is to develop standards that promote transparency, accountability, and efficiency in the capital markets. Well, think about that a little bit more. Developing standards in and of itself is not going to get you the transparency, accountability, and efficiency in the capital markets. You've got to have the high-quality standards, you need to have the quality application, you need to have the consumption, and then all of those items together get you the efficient capital markets. And the question for you is really, where do we want to be on that spectrum? If you think about, with respect to our standards, we develop our IFRS standards, but then we also do quite a bit to support the quality application. Because if you think about it, you could have the best standards in the world, but if what users are consuming is something disconnected from those best standards in the world, then the whole system is just, it's not going to stay in place, it's not going to be robust. So the same question arises with the IFRS taxonomy. If we were to draw an analogy, the taxonomy flows with the standards. Is there more that we need to be doing to support the quality application, support consumption, to get to, in theory, an ideal state? And what is that ideal state? So the specific questions that we have for you, there are four of them. And I would put all of them in the context, as you've heard Joanna quote me before, is that we do have limited resources. So there are a number of things that we could do, that we would love to do, but I will flag for you the lovely people sitting to my right. That is our taxonomy team right there. That's everybody, as well as Rita right here. They're absolutely wonderful. They work incredibly hard, but we do have limited resources, so we need to be realistic about how much we can do, and there's a trade-off. If we want to do more in this area because we think it is a priority, then just bear in mind that something else would need to give. So the four questions that we have, the first one is establishing what is the future environment. And I would suggest that each group spends maybe about 10 minutes on this question. And this question really relates to, we know the technology is developing quickly. We know the future is uncertain. Yet that can't stop us from developing a plan of action. So are there certain known truths with respect to what the future holds that we can base our strategy on? Are there some things that we can rely on and build from that? Or is the whole thing just so fundamentally uncertain that We just don't know what we're going to do. Hopefully it's not the latter. Second question relates to the challenges. Rita laid out a number of them. Are there any other ones that we're missing? Third question relates to what else can we do? Again, Rita laid out a number of things that we do have in process. The PAC describes other things that we're working on. Are there more things that we can do to support this quality application of the IFRS taxonomy? And then finally, question four relates to what should our role be? And as both Rita and I have mentioned, there are a number of players in the capital markets, in the financial reporting ecosystem. So we could think about doing things together, and if we do that, working with other stakeholders, is there a way that we can get everyone to the table equally committed to getting to whatever we think that ideal future state is? And like I said before, if that's not practical, then maybe other end of the spectrum is what can we as the IFRS Foundation do within our span of control to at least move the ball forward? So what I would suggest is maybe if group one can start with the first question, group two the second question, so on and so forth. But particularly with question one, I think there's quite a bit that could bring up. So maybe if we focus on spending about 10 minutes there so that we can get to the other questions as well, we would find that very helpful. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
That's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Can I make an additional comment?
Hans would like to make an additional comment.
Just listening again to these presentations and looking at the slides, just look at slide 11, the CFA Institute's member survey. And it's clear that from that survey that only 11% of investors solely use paper information for their analysis, and that all others use data providers, third-party data providers, and almost 60% largely or completely rely on data providers, which means that, in fact, these data providers, when they normalize and categorize the information, do a lot of standard setting in practice. Using our standards as a starting point, and hopefully also using our taxonomy as a starting point. But I think this just goes to show how immensely important it is that we are truly active in this field, and that we cannot just, I mean, perhaps the conclusion could be that the data providers are doing a fine job, but my suspicion is that there is a lot of incomparability between the data providers, and there's a strong case for IFRS Foundation to be as active as it is, and possibly even more active. But this survey is just incredibly powerful, I think.
Thank you, Hans. Lothar?
I think that's a very important observation, but it also has to do, in my view, with the gap and non-gap issue, because the data providers will provide more data than just the pure and simple IFRS accounts. And that's something I think we have to consider, and that, well, we'll come into the discussions later, how granular and how easily different numbers can be built together. That will be key, I think. And everybody is unsatisfied with the quality of the third-party providers.
Lothar, I think that question there, or that challenge, comes up very much in terms of question two here in relation to the challenges. But I certainly think that Hans, in terms of bringing that to our attention, has really set the context of the use of this and how much there. So I would encourage you all to think about that. And Neely said, and I start the questions 1, 2, 3, 4 in terms of your groups, and definitely spend time on question one in terms of doing that. But my view is that question four is, if you like, the elephant in the room. What role should our role be in this? And the going through that. Sue, did you want to make a comment on that?
I just wanted to add one really quick thing, which I think builds on the observations made by Hans, that given our sort of strategy and objective is to have consistent accounting around the world, for users of financial statements. If it's the case that they're mainly going to be consuming that electronically, how do we need to think about the taxonomy in the context of ensuring that what they actually receive electronically is comparable and consistent around the world? I think that's what we're trying to grapple with.
Okay, with those additional comments, and thank you to Neely and Rita and Roxana, if we go to our groups